Hello everyone, welcome to Journal Club with Happy. I'm your host, Happy Kasai, and I'm a graduate student at Vanderbilt University. This podcast is structured as a short scientific journal club where I'll discuss scientific papers and relate their major findings. Generally, journal clubs have a scientific audience ranging from undergraduate science students to university professors, and the language used in journal clubs is very specific to the field of study. For this podcast, I try very hard to use everyday language to explain science. I'm also a science student, so in this journal club, we learn science together. Over the past few weeks, I have brought different papers that looked at Alzheimer's disease from varying perspectives and shared them with you. Today is going to be the last episode on the Alzheimer's series. There are many more papers that I could have shared, but it is time to pause the series and talk about other things. I'll get back to the topic of neurodegeneration in the future, but for now, this is the last paper on Alzheimer's disease. I got the inspiration for today's journal club from Dr. Peter Attia's podcast, The Drive. In one of his recent episodes with Dr. Dina Dubal, they talked about a longevity protein called Klotho. That episode inspired me in multiple ways. As a growing neuroscientist, I have a lot to learn from Dr. Dubal and her career. At the same time, after listening to that episode, I looked for papers that talk about Klotho in the context of Alzheimer's disease and wanted to share that paper with you. I found one that was published in the journal Aging Cell in 2020. The study was conducted by Dr. Junrong Du's lab in Sichuan University in China. The co-first authors are Yu Zhao, Chen Ye Zhang, and Zhao Hongli. And the title of the paper is Klotho Overexpression Improves Amyloid Beta Clearance and Cognition in the APP-PS1 Mouse Model of Alzheimer's Disease. By now, we're familiar with most of the terms in that title. We've talked about amyloid beta in the brain and how it forms plaques in the case of Alzheimer's disease. And this amyloid plaque formation is still the primary hypothesis for the cause of Alzheimer's. We call it the amyloid cascade hypothesis. And it has dominated the field for decades. Nowadays, neuroinflammation and gut microbiome contributions are also being explored as potential causes of Alzheimer's disease. But even now, to this day, the amyloid hypothesis is the most dominant hypothesis to describe Alzheimer's disease. What's new about today's paper is the protein Klotho. Klotho is a protein in our body. Studies on Klotho started by identifying it as a longevity gene, and this gene increases our lifespan and health span. It helps us live longer and healthier, and deficiencies in this gene do the opposite. Organisms live shorter and have a reduced quality of life when they are Klotho deficient. Interestingly, as we age, the level of Klotho in our system decreases, so it is something that we lose with age. And even more interestingly, exercise increases Klotho in our body. Engaging in physical activity will gradually increase Klotho levels in the body and brain. So right there, we find another reason to maintain an active lifestyle. Klotho has two primary sites of production, one in the kidneys and the second one in a tissue of the brain called the choroid plexus. It is a transmembrane protein, which means that one part of the protein is stuck to the membrane of the kidney and choroid plexus epithelial cells. Try to imagine it like a dandelion. The flower of a dandelion is attached to the plant, but when the wind blows, the seeds detach from the flower and float along with the wind. Same thing happens here. Whenever we exercise, the outer part of the Klotho protein is cleaved off the membrane and enters our blood circulation, just like the dandelion seeds that detach and float into the air. The circulating part of the Klotho protein binds to receptors located on multiple other body cells and signals its longevity benefits. Although we still do not know how it works, Klotho enhances cognition and improves memory. Dr. Dubal has done a lot of this work in mice and non-human primates, and the results have been very surprising. It improves cognition and memory every time it has been tested, even in healthy animals. one of their current studies gets into the mechanism of Clotho. Clotho in the body activates platelet factor 4 that can enter the brain and enhance cognition. It is still a developing body of work, and what I can do for now is just to promise to come back and talk about it in future journal clubs as I learn more about it. But back to today's paper. So we have this protein Clotho that enhances cognition and memory, which are both faculties that are negatively affected by Alzheimer's disease. So what the research team wanted to know is, how does the increase in Clotho affect Alzheimer's hallmarks in a mouse model? They wanted to know if it improves memory in Alzheimer's model mice and see what the brain looks like when there is Clotho overexpression. Before I bring up the results, I want to describe the experiment setup. Listening to previous journal clubs, I have realized that I do a poor job of describing the groups used in the studies, so I'm going to try and do a better job this time. For this study, there were four groups of mice. The groups were created by genotype and treatment. Genotype is a term in biology used to describe the genetics of an organism. For example, in today's paper, we have two genotypes. They are wild type and the APPPS1. The wild-type mice are groups of mice whose genetics was not altered for this study, which means no gene was deleted or added to their genome. They are not genetically susceptible to Alzheimer's. The APPPS1 mice are models for Alzheimer's disease. The mice express the disease versions of the human amyloid precursor protein and presenilin-1 protein, hence the name APPPS1. The APP stands for amyloid precursor protein and PS1 stands for presenilin-1 protein. Both of these proteins are important in the development of amyloid plaques in the case of Alzheimer's, and accordingly, these mice develop amyloid plaques by 6 months of age. So this makes them a very good model to study Alzheimer's. So those are the two genotypes in this study. And for each genotype, the research team injected either a lentivirus that expresses Clotho or a control lentivirus that expressed a fluorescent protein into the ventricles of the mice brains. There's a lot to elaborate here. The ventricles in the brain are cavities where the cerebrospinal fluid flows. Essentially, our brain has these duct-like structures that contain a tissue called the choroid plexus. And this brain structure produces cerebrospinal fluid, and this fluid circulates in the ventricles. Quick reminder here, the choroid plexus also produces the Clotho protein. Therefore, it's the ideal region to inject a lentivirus that overexpresses Clotho. This lentivirus injection method is a very cool technique of adding a gene to a specific brain region of an adult animal. The lentivirus integrates itself into the DNA of the mice and expresses either the Clotho protein, which is the protein that we're interested in for this particular study, or for control reasons, it expresses a fluorescent protein, which in this case is green fluorescent protein. The only purpose of the fluorescent protein is just to control for the injection that the researchers did in the Clotho group of mice. Otherwise, the comparison made among the four groups will not be valid. So now we have four groups of mice. There's the wild type with fluorescent protein injection. There's the wild type with the Clotho injection. There's the APPPS1 with the fluorescent injection. And the APPPS1 with the Clotho injection. Two injections of the lentivirus were given. The first injection was done at 7 months, and the second injection was given 3 months later, which means at 10 months of age. And the effect of the treatment was analyzed 3 months after the second injection, which means when the mice are a year old. And this lets us see the effect of Clotho overexpression over a period of 6 months. Now let's get into the results. The research team first validated their study design by looking at Clotho protein expression in the choroid plexus, the hippocampus, and the cerebrum. They were able to see an increase in Clotho levels in all these regions, so the lentiviral injection has worked. They also looked at brain slices of the choroid plexus and stained them for Clotho, and they saw that The staining detects higher levels of clotho in the clotho-injected mice. So this result confirms that the injections worked as expected. After validating the study design, the researchers put the four groups of mice through behavioral studies to see any differences in short-term memory. They conducted the Y-maze test, the passive avoidance test, and the Morris water maze test. All these tasks are tests routinely used to study the short-term memory deficits from Alzheimer's dementia. And in all three tasks, the Alzheimer's model mice that were injected with the clotho lentivirus performed as good as the wild-type mice. The GFB lentivirus injected APPS1 mice, which were the control mice for the lentivirus infection, had memory deficits just as expected. They performed poorly in all three tasks. But the clotho overexpression in the fourth group of mice, which is the APPS1, the Alzheimer model mice that were injected with the clotho protein, improved the memory deficits that would have been created from the APPS1 mutation. I would also like to add here that clotho overexpression did not significantly improve the memory of the wild-type mice. The wild-type mice that were injected with the clotho lentivirus had similar performance as the wild-type mice that were injected with the control lentivirus. I expected cognitive improvement in the wild-type mice because of clotho's property as a cognition enhancer. According to Dr. Dubal's description, clotho helps cognition even in healthy mice and non-human primates. So I expected the wild-type mice with the clotho injections to do better than the wild-type mice with the control lentivirus injections. There might be an administration and timing difference here between the two studies. The mice in this paper had clotho overexpression in the brain for 6 months, while the studies conducted by Dr. Dubal's team were peripheral injections of the clotho protein, and the healthy mice that were injected with the clotho had enhanced cognition. But with that said, I would like to take you to other results from this paper. We have said that amyloid plaques are the major hallmark of Alzheimer's disease, and these protein aggregates form in the hippocampus and the cortex regions. The interesting result that this research team saw is that clotho overexpression reduces amyloid burden. So far, we think of clotho as a resilience factor that protects the function of the neurons despite the presence of the amyloid toxins. However, in this study, the mice that were injected with the clotho lentivirus had a 40 to 50% reduction in amyloid burden in the hippocampus and the cortex of the brain. We know that clotho helps cognition and memory, but this paper shows us that the protective effects of clotho also include the reduction of protein aggregates, which I find very interesting. The amyloid plaques are neurotoxic and lead to the degeneration of neurons. And this is visible on brain slices. They show this in figure 3 of today's paper by staining for neuronal nuclear protein and synaptophysin. And the clotho overexpression reduced both neuronal loss and synaptic loss. In Alzheimer's disease, the amyloid plaques are also sources of inflammation. They activate this NLRP3 inflammasome. This inflammasome is a collection of proteins that detects damage, which in this case could be the amyloid plaques, and activates the immune system. From a previous journal club, we have seen how chronic neuroinflammation could exhaust the immune system and make it ineffective at clearing the amyloid plaques. But with this overexpression of the clotho protein, what we observe is less activation of this inflammasome and the subsequent inflammatory pathway, which includes the microglia. And that's exactly what we see. Along with this reduction in inflammatory cytokines, we also observe a reduction in the pro-inflammatory subtype of microglia. The microglia, which are the main innate immune cells in the brain, could be classified into M1 and M2 subtypes depending on their activation status. The M1 subtype are activated and are considered to promote inflammation. So these are pro-inflammatory, while their counterparts, which are the M2 subtype, are substitutively activated and help to resolve inflammation. With the clotho overexpression in the Alzheimer model mice, we observe more of this M2 microglia, which resolves inflammation, than the M1 microglia. And so this helps in the clearance of the amyloid plaques. The take-home point from both the inflammasome and the microglia results is that Clotho reduces Alzheimer's-associated neuroinflammation in the brain. In addition to the clearance by the microglia, the amyloid protein is also cleared from the brain by transporter proteins that remove it from the brain and let it enter the blood circulation. This could be through the blood-brain barrier or the blood-cerebrospinal fluid barrier in the choroid plexus. In this study, Clotho overexpression led to the increase in those transporters that help clear the amyloid protein. To elaborate on this, there were more exits for the amyloid protein from the brain, which is great and beneficial in the context of Alzheimer's, and some of the amyloid burden could just exit the brain and be degraded in the liver and kidneys. So Clotho helps with that too. Those were the results from this study. So there's this protein Clotho that improves cognition, reduces neuroinflammation, promotes clearance of amyloid protein from the brain. But how does it work? What's the mechanism behind it? I guess that's the big question here. We still do not know. Like I said earlier, studies show that peripheral Clotho activates platelet factor 4, which can enter the brain and promote all these benefits. We are aware of that, but this study introduced Clotho directly into the brain and saw therapeutic effects in Alzheimer's model mice. I'll be very excited to know how Clotho interacts with other proteins in the brain to bring about all these benefits. With that said, I think Clotho holds great potential for Alzheimer's therapeutics development. It might be the long-awaited cure for Alzheimer's, or as Dr. Dubal described it, it might be one of the components in the cocktail of Alzheimer's therapeutics. That aside, we know that exercise increases Clotho levels in the brain and body, so we can keep ourselves active and our brains healthy in the meantime. That was it for today. I'll share the link to today's paper under the episode notes so that you can look at the paper in more detail. And I say this a lot. Whenever I'm reading these papers, I'm very hopeful about the human experience in the future. I find a great deal of hope in the prospect of neuroscience, and I hope it has the same effect on you. That's why I'm doing this journal club. This will be the last journal club on Alzheimer's disease, at least for now. We looked at 6 papers in total, and we'll come back to it some other time. Next week, I'll pick another neuroscience paper and share it with you. Until next week, ciao, ciao.